Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Warning: the following podcast may contain backwoods psychos raised by wolves, untrustworthy hot dog magnates, and laser violence against Dickensian insects. Mookie Blakelock takes us on a cozy but disturbing journey through the weird, wild theme parks of New Hampshire on Podcast The Ride. Welcome to Podcast The Ride, a podcast hosted by guys who love theme parks, but today we'll determine if we also love weird facilities where bears play basketball. I'm Scott Gardner, and I'm joined by, let's go, Jason Sheridan this time.
Sure, yeah. I'm of two minds about, like, animal shows, you know? I feel like I've mostly seen bird shows. I don't know if I've seen a lot of bear shows.
I personally have never seen a bear show. We're going to talk about a bear show. Mike Carlson.
I'm of two minds. I both like and love a bear show. So, yeah, we'll discuss it, obviously, more as we go along. But
both like and love. Oh, I see. You covered
the gamut.
That's
the two sides of my head, and as far as this show is concerned. Yeah.
Listen, everybody, today, here's a phrase I didn't think I would say on the podcast, probably. Today, we're talking about the theme parks of New Hampshire. I don't think this was ever on the board. I don't think this was, like, going to come up from us, but a guest has brought this to us, and I'm very excited about it, because I love when we can explore an area we know nothing about. There's so much odd stuff that we figured out due to our guest. He's the host of the podcast You Are Worthy with Lil Mookie B. He's one of the funniest guys around. Mookie Blakelock is here. Hi, Mookie.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
So happy to have you. Thank you. And yes, sorry, this is it's all I could come up with.
I love
it. Building it up. I got excited about it.
No,
now
it sucks. No, stupid.
Right, we can change it. We can just kill this and do it later. We'll just make a new
It's dumb. It's stupid.
Do you want to just change it?
Do you want to do the cars ride? We'll talk about the cars ride.
Nobody likes me. I guess I'm just a dumb idiot.
No, don't say that.
No, I guess I'm just a fucking loser.
Come back.
We like you.
This is spinning out faster than any episode ever.
We've never had a spin out. This is like a spin out on, like, Lightning McQueen's track on the Cars Land ride.
Which clearly we should be talking about, and I know that, but that's not what we're talking. Look, we're here. I'm very excited about.
Yeah, it's
and Jason, I think
great.
Jason, I think you were psyched about about what we've found. You were saying you've got a ton of tabs. You're overflowing with tabs.
I think it was starting to slow down my computer earlier, and then I lost them all because I had to restart, but I got most of them back. I have a book. I was wondering how to start. I was wondering how to start researching this episode, which I think we should go the other way. I think we should declare, like, a 50 state, you know, we should do the Sufjan and go like every state's theme parks. But as I was starting to research this, I was like, what park should I start with? And then I happened by a little free library that had the Amusement Park Guide, a book published in 1990.
It
gave
me retro looking.
The two of the parks I'm sure we're going to talk about today. New Hampshire has two entries in this. It is a state by state guide, and New Hampshire has two parks listed.
And were two of them the ones that I had brought to you?
Canobie Lake Park.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Storyland.
Which I believe is part of Santa's Village, yes. Maybe not. Maybe not Storyland.
They are separate. Storyland, I believe, is the one. One of them is run by the people who run Kennywood in Pennsylvania. They also run Storyland.
Feels like the vibe. There's some Kennywood vibes in these, I would say. Yeah.
But all the parks I read about were very, like, charming, a lot of natural beauty, a lot in wooded areas. Mm. And you don't get that every place you build a theme park, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, true.
Not at all.
What's your Boogie, like, what, well, I guess I have a couple New Hampshire questions. One, I don't think I know, like, the vibe of it in general. I don't know what are the, like, what are the stereotypes, or like what you might regard as, like, what is, like, particularly, well, New Hampshire-y. What can you tell us on that front?
Well, it's interesting because I feel like I kind of have a little bit of an outsider perspective of New Hampshire as well. I grew up in Massachusetts.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And so we would, so my family, it's just, I'm an only child, so it's just me and my mom and my dad. And we would go up to New Hampshire every year for a week to the same campground every year, Minkbrook Campground in Lisbon, New Hampshire. And we would go to one of these places every year. But it's the only place we literally ever went on vacation. We literally never went on vacation to another place. We didn't go. We didn't, like, when I was 4 years old, we got on a plane and went to Florida and went to Disney World, which I have no recollection of. But other than that, like, my family is very, like, we like things the way we like them. And so we went to the same place. And so, like, I haven't even explored New Hampshire that much, but, like, New Hampshire and Vermont, I feel like, are kind of like the same vibe. I mean, they're right next to each other, but it's like, it's woodsy. It's like cabiny. There's lakes. It's like a lot of, it's like, it's very New England-y. It's like, there's lots of things are made of wood, and there's like a lot of brick walkways and cobblestone and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's very New England. There's lighthouses and like,
oh, sure.
Actually, I don't think New Hampshire is on the coast. I think Vermont is. I could be wrong about that. This is how little I fucking know about anything. I can't even tell you like where towns in Massachusetts are, because like I never went far from my town or whatever, but like, wow, geographically, wow. But yeah, New Hampshire is like woodsy New England, like brick and stone and wood and like, you know,
cozy. Is it cozy?
It's cozy. It's like fireplaces and little shops, yeah, and like dads with their shirts tucked into their shorts with sandals walking around, you know, getting ice cream on like a farm that has cows on it or whatever. You know, it's that's my best description of like the New Hampshire vibe. And then it's like, if you keep going up New England north to like north to like Maine is like even more of that, but it's like even almost a little more like backwoodsy, and like everybody has a fucking tractor, and you know, like you catch lobsters off of the
dock.
What's the word I'm looking for? The
pier?
Dock or the
pier?
Yeah, the pier. What's the harbor?
The harbor.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And like everyone has a boat, and like, you know, that's like Maine is like where, you know, that's where people are like, you know, oh, well, up here in Maine, you know, that's the
yes.
Bert and I, we was walking down the beach or whatever, and so that's like New England. That's like the almost like Maine is almost like no man's land, and then it's like you go down south New England, and it's like Massachusetts and Connecticut and Rhode Island, which is just a totally different vibe, but still kind of like, you know, seaside town or whatever. But like as you go up, like Rhode Island, Cape Cod, New England is like seaside, like lighthouses. And then you keep going up to like New Hampshire, Vermont, and it starts getting like a little quieter and a little greener.
Yeah. Is there an accent? Is there a New Hampshire? Like, what is it, a dialed back?
It's like
Maine?
It's the New England accent. It's a Boston accent. It's a Boston accent.
Oh, okay. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you like the one place that you went on vacation, or did you get tired of the one place you went on vacation?
I don't know.
Somewhere in between.
Well, it's like, so it was like 1 week a year, we went to this place, Minkbrook Campground in Lisbon, New Hampshire. It's some place that like an old friend of like my dad's like took him to once, and he fell in love with it. And it's like this very, very quiet campground in the middle of kind of nowhere, New Hampshire. It was like, it's like a couple hours, like up into like from the Massachusetts, New Hampshire border. And we stayed at the same campsite every year. Like my dad would book it a year in advance because he wanted the same site. And, you know, it was like us going, and it was very quiet, and it's like, it's very woodsy. And there's like, there's a brook that runs through it, the Mink Brook. So that's why it's called Minkbrook Campground. There's a brook that runs through it. We had a campsite that was on the brook, and like, if you go to the front of the campground, it was like they had a pool and then they had a little shop with like the office and like you could, you know, a little shop you could buy like candy and like baseball cards and shit. And then they had a little, their cool part about it is they had this big Airstream trailer that they turned into an arcade. And so there were like video games inside of it, like arcade games, which was just like, I would spend all my time there because it was just me and my parents. I was an only child and my parents were there to get away from the hustle and bustle of our lives and like read books. So they would be reading books. We had like the pop-up trailer and shit where you tow it behind my dad's Jeep and then like, you know, like the sides come up and expand and, you know, you like crank up the thing and you pull the awning out and it had two beds and like a little shower in it and stuff. And then my dad had like, you know, a gas stove and he like really did it up. It was kind of like early glamping, but you know, my parents like would put out like their like foldable chaise lounges and read a book. And I would be like, throw a Frisbee with me, walk to the store with me. And they would be like, go do that by yourself. And so I would ride my bike around like by myself. I would go down to the store and they would give me money. And they would be like, don't buy candy with it. And I would buy candy with it. And I would go find a place to hide and eat it. And it was just like, and then every now and then my dad would be like, all right, let's throw a Frisbee back and forth. Or like, we will go down to the pool together as a family or whatever. Or if there were other kids at other campsites, he would be like, go make friends with that kid. Even though I had like crippling anxiety, social anxiety, and like did not want to go talk to kids that I didn't know.
God, that's a vacation nightmare. Like never do I want to, I've never did anything good come from me trying to make friends on a trip. I don't understand. Like, and then you walk into scenes where like, you guys don't know each other before. How did this happen? I can't make friends on trips.
The only time that ever worked for me was on a cruise ship. And there was like kids hours by age group. And we were kind of forced into it. It's like, we don't want you just wandering a cruise ship all day. And then looking back, I'm like, well, I was 12. Why not? Why couldn't I? You let me wander half the time anyway. Why did I have to do little skits and like activities and stuff?
You did skits with 12 skits. With strangers?
Ugh. Oh, yeah. And like crafts. There was crafts and like pool hour and stuff. And it was like, here, staff occupy the children so your parents can drink at the pool before dinner time, you know? So your parents can do the on-ship casino.
Wow. Time killing, that's it.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, it was fun, but it would never, like when we went to Disney or even if we went to like the mountains or stuff, like it, never again did I really have that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I didn't make friends with anyone on vacation.
Yeah,
never happened.
It sucks. Possible. What a like, I guess maybe as an adult, and you know, we've all got our little boomer parents, but just like go up to that kid and make friends with him. Literally just like go walk up to that campsite right now and say, hi, my name is Michael Blakelock and can I please play with your daughter or whatever? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That is a nightmare. I don't want to talk to that kid. I'm literally scared of that person. Like, I don't want to talk to people I don't know.
Yeah. And it's sure. kids. Yeah. So they might say, get out of here, idiot. Like, it might be like, it won't happen. Yeah. If you're like, I want to try to like talk to this girl or talk to these people at a bar. It might probably won't happen as an adult, but like, get the hell out of my face could happen with a child.
Yeah.
Or like I go up to it and it's just like, hi, can I play? And then it's like, oh, so you're just our responsibility now.
Mm-hmm. I'm just walking exactly.
kid on this trip like, can I play cards with you guys or whatever? Just like my parents don't want to do it. So like I'm now I'm your problem.
Yeah, and all of these parks, the New England kind of parks, it seems, if you look on their websites, like places to stay, they're sending you to either a campground or they're sending you to like a motel, essentially. Yeah. And because it's very rusty. I usually, like, if you look up Six Flags places to stay in the area, it'll have a link to like, all right, there's a Courtyard Marriott, there's a Hilton Garden Inn. Less the case seemingly in New England. It's a lot of still little motor lodges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all, especially like in that area of New Hampshire, it's like, it's very like you start getting into like the wilderness where it's like there's, you're going to have to like, if you're at this camp ground, you're going to have to drive 25 minutes to get to something to do.
Right, right.
Which is the thing, which, you know, speaking of what we're speaking of, but like that would be the thing. So like we would go up there for a week every summer, and then one day of the week, we would like take a day trip out to like one of these places.
Oh, right. That's the trip is to the one place, but this is the all right. I guess we should do something. So you go to one of these.
It is just like we cannot be here every single day. So we would go into like or it would be like a couple days. So it would be like, you know, one day we would go into like Littleton, New Hampshire, which was like a couple towns over, and they had like a little town square with like a bookstore, and we would go to the bookstore and like they would be like, we'll buy you a book and you can read a book from this place, or we would go to Santa's Village, or we would go to Clark String Bears. Canopy Lake Park was not a vacation thing for me. That was just another New Hampshire. Like that's the big New Hampshire, like independent, like little amusement park that I had been to many times, but that's separate from these vacations that I took with my, but if we took a day trip, we would either go and it was, we went there for years and yeah. We would go to every year. It was, last year we went to Clark's Trading Post, and this year we'll go to Santa's Village, and next year we will go to Clark's, and then the next year we will go to Santa's Village, and then next year we'll go to Clark's. And then it got to a point where, like, you know, when I was like maybe 12 or 13 or 14, for like a couple of years, they were like, you can bring a friend. So you have somebody. They were like, this kid is going fucking stir crazy. You can bring one of your friends. And then when I was like 15, they were like, you can stay home alone for a week while we go out. And I was that fucking ruled.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, those were my day. Those were my experiences with those smaller places, where it was just like we would go to those two places every year.
Mm-hmm. So then did you like them, or was it like, well, it's a place, there's distractions, there's signs I can point at and that will fill time?
I mean, I think it was like Stockholm syndrome, where it's like, well, I have to like it because I don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like I hate going here. I'm like, I think that my dad tells me every year that I like this, and so I believe it. Mm-hmm. Because like I'm your hostage. I'm your like your lifelong hostage.
That's yeah. There is a point. There's points for, I think it happens a lot when you're a kid, and either like you finally realize you can have like an opinion, or you can have a choice about something. Like when I was a kid and I was playing soccer a few years in a row, and I didn't realize I hated soccer until my mom said, you know, you don't have to play it. Because like she got the sense that I was not maybe that into soccer, because I'd run away from the ball and only cared about getting a hot dog after the game. And then she presented that to me, and I remember going, oh, I don't want to play soccer anymore. But up until that point, I felt, oh, I'll be playing soccer for my whole life. There'll be never a time when I won't be playing soccer.
Yes.
That's just who I am.
This is just, yeah, I was told that this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And there's no part of me that goes like, well, mother and father are certainly not wrong.
They're always right, in fact.
They happen to know everything, and I actually know nothing.
Yeah, I stuck around in Boy Scouts and baseball for probably a year or two too long, because I was like, oh, well, I don't want to upset anyone by not doing this. And then once I started doing school plays, I was like, well, I found this and I like this more. Yeah. So I think I'm just going to gravitate towards this.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mookie, when you were going on the trip, were you like, at least you think like, okay, that candy store is good and the arcade is good? Because that's obviously, that would have appealed to me. And I'd be like, oh yeah, it's the, you know, old time confectionery with a bunch of taffy or something. I'm just imagining what it is.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, literally, it was like a little, it was like a tiny, like the size of like my bedroom, like just it, like corner store. It was literally like, it was like the front desk to the campground. So it's like when you pull in and you're checking in, you go in this little shop, and then there's the lady who owns the place behind the desk, and you go, hi, we're in site number, we're the Blakelocks, and we're in site number 36 or whatever. And then they go, great, welcome. And then, you know, it happens to just be a little general store where it's like, they got a little freezer with like ice cream sandwiches in it and stuff. And like, you know, you can get like candy bars and candy and like fruit pies and shit like that. But it's like the office slash front desk slash little general store where like you can go. It's like where you would go and like outside you could buy like fire, like bundles of firewood, or like, you know, they had like, it was almost like a little market where it's like you can get marshmallows and Hershey bars and graham crackers to like go make s'mores at your campsite kind of thing.
Gotcha. I'll be honest, I said it before, it sounds cozy. The whole thing sounds very cozy.
It's cozy. It's cozy. Yeah.
But I can see how you might bristle just doing these things over and over again, especially because Santa's Village and like Storyland fall into the category of this is an amusement park catering to 12 and under, maybe 13 and under. Yeah. So as you're hitting adolescence, this stuff hits less and less. I feel like my family got so into theme parks that we tapered off from like Storybook Land or Dutch Wonderland kind of parks kind of quickly.
Right. And I mean, like, I understand this more now as like an adult, like approaching 40, but like, you know, like I got what was appealing to my parents. It was just like, it's a quiet, relaxing place that has a babbling brook running through it. And I get to escape the hustle and the bustle of Ashland, Massachusetts. And, and like, go and like I get to like read books and be in nature and stuff like that, and it's like, yeah, I might like that now,
right?
But just like as a kid, you're like, I mean, it's fun to just be like, we're getting in the car and we're going someplace different, and like it is fun, and like we're like sleeping in a tent or whatever, and it's cool. But it's also just like, I mean, as a kid, for most of it, it's just like I have like child energy and I'm just like, and I have nobody to fucking play with or do anything. And it's like, I want to do way more than they want to do. And it was always just them just being like, ugh, can we please just sit here and read the new Janet Ivanovich.
Look, you don't understand, Mookie. It's two for the show. We read One for the Money last summer. Two for the dough, excuse me.
Rita Get Deadly, four to score. High five.
Stephanie Plum is back, and I'm the last person in my office to read about her adventures.
Those books are so funny that they just, like, there's, like, 23 of them or whatever, and, like the names just start being, like, it's 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you do after? There's no puns involved in any numbers north of 19.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had three good ones. They had one for the money, two for the dough, three to get deadly.
One for the money, of course, made into a movie starring Katherine Heigl.
That's right.
It's glued into my mind as the only movie I've ever seen sold tickets sold on Groupon for a movie.
Oh my god. Yeah, it was box office buff. My parents were like, that was one of the worst movies we've ever seen, and we love those Stephanie Plum books.
Such a disappointment.
They got sucker because they like the book. Oh my god, group rates, like how they did, like what they did with like Passion of the Christ. Get your group together.
Oh no. Okay. No, Groupon, like get a $6 ticket. Yeah
boy, that's crazy. You know what? I have a New Hampshire memory too, which is similar to this is the high end of, this is the like,
oh,
this is the like annoying fancy version of the boring place. Do you know what the Balsams is? Does that sound familiar? Do you know about Dixville Notch, New Hampshire?
Mm-mm.
The Dixville Notch is the town where only like 7 people live there, and they get up early and vote first thing so that they can be the first place where the election results come in.
In the New Hampshire. Well, and they, you mean in the primary? Because the New Hampshire primary is the big one. Or you just mean the election that's like as a collective group, they're like, we're getting up early so we can have this claim to fame.
Is the New Hampshire primary the first primary?
Yes.
Yes, it's before the Iowa caucus.
Then that must be the thing. Like, they cast their president vote first of all, as it's the first state and the first town, and they all know each other, so they wake up. And it's the most, like, odd, mundane little... But there's, like, a really nice resort near there where you get to learn about this tradition and how it's been going for hundreds of years. And I was watching videos about the place and it flashed me right back to like, yes, it's pretty. It's so pretty. There was nothing I wanted less as a kid than pretty. Pretty is so pretty. It was absolutely boring. And now in retrospect, I feel like, well, my parents probably took me to some like jaw dropping places where I was like, no, but it's not. I would like absolutely rather be playing Mario Kart than any one of these places.
Leave
me at home with a bunch of Sunny Delights or
you
something.
The beauty of Moo Moo Farms is better than anything that's in New Hampshire.
That's right. Yeah, they all have like Egyptian levels, like the deserts, the winds you see there. That's one of the wonders of the world.
Hey, I relate to that.
I think also that was a hotel that I really specifically, this is how fancy and traditional the hotel was, is that they, I remember getting there. This was very important to me because it was the season premiere of The Simpsons when we got there. You can't miss the season. These will never be able to be seen again. No one's tracking The Simpsons. If I don't see it now, I'll never see it. Mom, Dad, drop, I don't go fancy dinner or whatever you're planning. I do not want to do it. I want to watch The Simpsons no matter what. And then I am told, no, this is a traditional resort. There are not televisions in the room. I'm sorry. What are you talking? The whole summer is ruined. Wait, but that's okay. There is a television room. We did at some point recognize that these ghost children want to see TV, and they opened a TV. And now I'm like, wait a minute. I, as a 13-year-old, have to convince the room to put on this show, or else I will miss the show. And thankfully, there was enough groupthink that we wanted to watch it. And then it was Mike, the one we were just talking about. Was it the? Which is the one we agreed was the, yes, Edison. And then, so after all that, then it's the episode that lets you know that the show is no longer good. Absolutely awful memory, all of this. I have to go to the TV room, and I think I had to wear a coat. You have to wear a coat to sit in a room and watch television.
Like a fancy restaurant?
Yes, a coat for a child. Oh. I had to wear a little coat.
For the TV room?
Yes. And my parents loved this. We came back from this trip. I remember, like, my sister and I still talk about it, that my mom, like a threat in the car as we were leaving the place, said, from now on, when we get home, Wednesdays will be fancy Wednesdays. We will all dress up and we will eat dinner as a family and we will look nice. And I was like, for no one, for us only? I have to wear this coat while we eat like fish sticks? What are you talking about?
I love when like suburban parents like get outside of their bubble and see something and then they go, okay, we are doing this now. We are now making a change, and this is the law of the land from now on. Do you understand? And then it lasts for like, you know, a couple of weeks or
so.
Something.
Many,
like,
yes.
Stupid.
We're going to make our own pasta now. I'm not buying it out of the bags anymore. We'll do it together, and you will cut the shapes, and I will put them into the grinder. And then it's so bad the first time you try.
We had like allowance, like chore allowance. We're like, we're doing this now. You're not just going to get money when you beg for something. Here's what you do. We'll reward you 25 cents per. You make your bed. You clean your. Okay, that's how we're doing it. 3 weeks later, out the window. It's just the begging system for whatever you wanted is back in play. It's gone.
Such
it's
a
over.
Black and white, all or nothing, just like there's no like patience or like examination of like, you know, there's stuff in our family that maybe isn't working, or I don't like the attitude of my kids or something. And then you see one other idiot be like, my family does it this way. And you're like, we're doing it this way. And you don't have a say in it. And we're doing it. And if we don't do it, you're in trouble. And then they're the ones that give up on it. And then like a month later, when you're back to the way that, you know, business as usual in your family, you're just like, do you want me to go? My family's was like, I said, they thought I said I was bored too much. I was always like, I'm bored. And so we took a bunch of little slips of paper and wrote like things to do, like do a puzzle, like read a book, like take a walk. And if I ever said I'm bored, we would put them in a drawer and I would open the drawer and pick one out and be like, okay, do a puzzle. And now like we do, you know, that's like the shit we would do if I was bored. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, so like walking over to that fucking drawer, my mom being like, let's go over to the drawer and pick something to do if you're bored. And then pick out something where it's like, you know, it's like, build a castle of blocks. And it's like, ugh, this fucking sucks. And then, and of course, after a while, it was just like, I'm bored. And they were like, well, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I'm bored is not like I think kids just say that as like a response. Yeah. You know, it's like a little verbal tick, and it's like, yeah, well, you're probably not really bored. You probably just need like the equivalent of jangling keys in front of your face. But yeah. You're seven. I can't jangle keys. So,
and you didn't fucking give me a brother or a sister to play with. So like me, a child, has to fill 24 hours of the fucking day.
Yeah, that's true.
Myself, I gotta figure it out.
That's a lot.
You've really advanced my mental arguments for should I have another child. This has pushed me a long way.
It's your life. It's your family. It's your whatever. But just let you know. Do you really want your kid to turn out like me, Scott?
Well, Scott, I have one brother, and do you want him to turn out like me? So these are your options.
I'm looking down two different river paths. I don't know which.
That's right.
I just crashed down the middle.
As we're saying all this, though, I'm realizing like, oh, yeah, that, you know, my family did little bits of this, but it's like, well, it's kind of chill looking back in some ways, because I'm realizing like, well, my mom was the youngest of five and my dad's the youngest of four, so I think maybe at some point they're like, all right, well, let's keep a quieter house, like we don't have to do this insanity like our parents did.
These are numbers of siblings that are impossible, like they are, you could maybe get your head around, all right, maybe I could have a kid and not go bankrupt, but five, like, are we going to know anyone our age with five children unless it's an accident?
Well, and also when I've asked what did my grandparents do, it's always like, well, he did a little of this and a little of that. Like, it's never like, oh, I was at this job for 30 years or that sort of thing. For our parents, I mean, my dad worked for a long time. But like, yeah, I feel like my grandparents were retired by the time I knew them. But they jumped around to other jobs a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Yeah. We should get to these parks, or we have the least theme park content. But it's all applicable. We're in the vibe now. We're in the vibe. We're in the new.
Yeah, I was told this is a loose structure.
Oh yes, no. That is correct. I'm just making sure we do it.
That's what I was told.
There's no itinerary. There's no every 5 minutes. This happens. Let's start tossing them out. Canopy Lake Park. This seems like the biggest of the. This is like the most like major. Theme park of all the. So this was not. This was a separate trip. This was not in the regular rotation.
Yes, this was not in the, and I'm not even remembering where it is. I think it's a little closer like to like Nashua, New Hampshire, which is like a little closer to the like Massachusetts, New Hampshire border. But Canopy Lake Park was like the like, I don't know how to describe it, but just like, you know, the independent, like small local, like theme park, but like with legitimate like roller coasters and stuff.
Yeah,
family owned seemingly, which is sort of rare. Yeah.
It was like the place where you went like on a school trip or on a camp trip, or like, you know, your friend is like, we're going to Canopy Lake Park if you want to come with us. And that was like, you know, it was like an hour and a half away or something like that. You know what I mean? And that was the like, that was like a full like theme park with like rides and roller coasters and you know, like fried dough.
Yeah. 30 miles outside of Boston. So pretty close, serves that area. Originated as a trolley park. And this was like where trolleys.
1902 or something.
Yes, that's right. And so where trolleys would terminate, Kennywood, I mentioned, out in Pittsburgh, also a trolley park. Dorney Park in Wildwater Kingdom in Allentown, Pennsylvania, also a trolley park.
When I was looking at the Wikipedia and I saw the phrase trolley park, I'm like, there's no way Jason will not say this phrase. That phrase is like Jason bait. It's like a little crate was put up in front of a sign that said trolley park.
That's right. And there used to be quite a few trolley parks in America, but as the automobile rose in prominence, a lot the trolley lines closed and a lot of the parks went away, or they evolved into amusement parks. But there are still 13 left that started as trolley
parks. Thank God.
Yes, thank God.
How are the trolleys doing? Yeah. Do those work?
Oh, no, they're long dead.
they all burn up, but...
But late at night, you can still hear the sound that a trolley makes. I don't know.
The ghost of a trolley.
Of the rail? Do they have a horn?
If anyone knows what trolleys do, it's Jason.
They go clang, 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 as we learned in Meet Me in St. Louis.
Of course.
That's right.
This. So this seems like your Jason. So, we were saying this is like a Kennywood feel to this a little. You'd probably dig this place, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean it's right up my alley. It reminds me a lot of Knoebels Park in Pennsylvania, another older park. It's got a few roller coasters. It's got a dark ride. They do a Halloween event, and it also is the inspiration for a Stephen King novel called Joyland. One of the newer Stephen King novels.
Whoa. That's unsettling, though.
Yeah.
That seems scary, yeah.
What was the vibe? Like, I don't know. Like, what you was the one who went here. Like, did you have fun when you went here, Mickey?
Yeah. I mean, this, my fondest memory is that, it was the first time I went on an upside down roller coaster. Mm-hmm. So they had the corkscrew is like their big fun upside down roller coaster. So it's not like a full loop roller coaster. It's like you go up and you do a little twist, you know what I mean? Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I remember going with my dad and like him being like, you're going to love it. And me being like a scared little boy and being like, no, it's scary. And he's like, let's just get in line. Let's do it. He convinced me to do it. And it was like one of those where like we did it. And I was like, that was the most fun thing I've ever done. And we got back in line and we went on it like three more times. It was like my first upside down roller coaster experience. It was a fond memory.
That's great.
There's that. There's the corkscrew, and then they have like the really old. I think it's like the oldest, or like one of the oldest. They have the Yankee Cannonball, which is like their old wooden roller coaster, like the standard wooden roller coaster. Which
what
was
a
like
name.
Rickety and fun. And then like the only other thing I can remember there was like they have one of those like. What's the fucking, it's like the Gravitron, like it just spins really fast and then they drop the floor out from under you. Like they have one of those.
Oh, it's, I mean, that's why I always call it a Gravitron.
Yeah. Like a tilt-a-whirl or not a tilt-a-whirl, but just like, you know, you get sucked up against the side of the thing. But those were like the big rides there. Oh, and they had a big, they had this really cool one where it's like, you know, one that just spins and it's like, you're like sitting in a thing that's hanging from like wires and you just basically just get like flung around or whatever.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's a bunch of little things that you sit on. They were like shaped like roosters and you sit in them and you're hanging from a wire and it spins and you're just like going around the thing. Maybe that's more like tilt-a-whirl or whatever. No, maybe it's not.
Well, the tilt-a-whirl is like, yeah, that like half kind of, I don't know how you'd even describe it. Like it's like sort of circular back and then there's a little seat and then it spins as the whole thing spins as well.
It's literally just like you're just getting swung around by a wire, but you're sitting in a thing. Anyways.
A little chair. It's like a little chair, like a little swing kind of thing.
It almost was like a little like
I'm trying to find
them. They were these big roosters and they could fit two people. So it's like you're almost sitting in like a little like I don't fucking know.
It's like a little spinner ride.
Like a little car, yeah. Like you're just sitting in a thing. You're like sitting in a little
Is it like hold on, I'll show you a photo here. Is it like this one? Here. Is it like this thing right here?
Yes.
Yeah.
But there were less things and the things were bigger. The things could fit like two people in them. And there was probably like 10 of them in the whole thing, and then it would just get swung around.
Gotcha.
Sure.
If we were a different kind of theme park podcast, this would only be all we know the names of the things and we say all of the names and we say the manufacturers and there are no jokes.
Oh,
and
that's
if you want that podcast,
like park,
it exists and the audio is way worse than ours. So you might want to stay with us.
Yankee Cannonball was made by the Philadelphia Toboggan Company, who has made quite a few rides in the last 100 years.
Jason's got you covered. Jason's got all the information.
Let me.
I think the question you asked me was, what are my memories of that? And my memories are, I I wish I had more of them. I think my whole childhood was just like fear and anxiety. And so like, I don't retain a lot of memories, but I remember going with a friend of mine, my friend Bear Klaus, his name was Robert Klaus, but we called him Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go and we would like, it would be like this whole like fantasy, like we like, for some reason, I always, we like me and my friends always had these fantasies of like, we're characters on a TV show. And like, so like, we're like, when we get in the park, we're like these characters. And so we're like these two guys who like are on some adventure and we're in a movie and like, you know, the roosters are like, we have a big pet rooster and we fly on it or whatever. And like, I don't know. That's like, that's my...
You were having like one fantasy.
You had personas. Yeah.
It wasn't just like we're going to the park. It's like we're turning this experience into like, this is a fantasy of like, we are these two cool guys. And this is an adventure that we're on. And each of the rides is like part of our adventure or whatever. So that's like, my.
It was like Muppet Babies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you would have just like kind of a fantastical. A fantasy journey, I guess. Exactly. It's not, they were in the nursery, so they weren't even in a cool place like a theme park, but
they're in a, you're in a cool place imagining it's a cooler place, or that you're cooler people, I
yes,
guess
that, right. That would be it, yes. I would die if I had to just be myself.
So is that why you take on personas and play characters? Is that like,
yeah,
why
you, no,
got
it's,
into?
You know, I think the coolest thing about acting and performing is that you get to be whoever you want to be. Mm. You know what I mean? You could be the Queen
else.
Of England.
Or you,
sorry,
be,
I think something cut out
history.
There. You became some. Wait, Mookie's cutting out. There's these other people showing up. And so who else got the Zoom link?
Well, so far, so the Queen of England and
a bum on the street.
And a bum on the street. I think both from the same part
and
of
Penn
England.
Penn State assistant football coach, no. Jerry Sandusky. You could, okay, be anybody.
Oh, wait. Wait a minute.
Edit. Oh, maybe you shouldn't be anybody.
Blackout. Yeah.
You can be anyone in your wildest fantasies.
Do you, I don't know, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but do you remember the characters at the park?
Oh, God. This is like going to be too embarrassing. I think it was like we were, whatever it was like we were supposed to be two guys who are very cool and like we're starring in our own TV show and it's about the two of us being like, like two adventurers or something where it's like I feel like there was like a fantasy element to it where it was like there were people chasing us and we had to like get away from them and fight them. So it's like, you know, we're on the rooster thing going around and the people in the rooster thing behind us are chasing us with their own rooster, or like, you know, mm-hmm. like the like the corkscrew roller coaster is like us like on some like train track like getting away from the people that are chasing us or something like that. Again, that's like to the best of my memory, that's mm-hmm. it was something like that where it was like, because we would play these characters like not at the theme park too, it would be like when we were just hanging out, but the,
oh,
theme,
wow.
park was like, the theme park was like the theme park was like, you know what it's like the special episode of Family Matters where they shoot it at Disney World or whatever. It's like that, where it's like the special on location episode of the fantasy TV show that we are in at Canopy Lake Park, where normally when we're playing at one of our houses, we're just two guys that shoot guns and play with swords or whatever. But when we're at Canopy Lake Park, it's like, now we have flying roosters and tilt-a-whirl treks that like pull us into other dimensions or whatever. So, oh, we had wonderful imaginations.
I admire that you found someone who would commit to this with you, because I feel like I would have flights of fancy like this as a child, and I would never in a million years utter them out. Like, I would be like, this, I cannot vocalize this, where I will be put in a straitjacket. Like, they will wheel me away.
I probably had something where I, like, for some reason, because I felt embarrassed about every fucking breath that I took as a child, where I was just like, I don't know, maybe there was no filter on this one, or like this friend in particular was just like, I do that stupid dorky shit too, idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that you had like a long narrative. It was like, yeah. like a long serialized pro TV show or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like only child stuff to me, where it's just like, I'm alone with my imagination 24/7. So if anybody wants to like do this with me, like, please, you're welcome.
Sure. Now, yeah. Makes a lot of
psyche
sense.
A major service.
I know. I'm just like, I've got all these. It's kind of how I feel now. It's like, I have all these incredible creative thoughts in my head and I just need to get them out.
Yeah, of course.
And if we were a different kind of podcast,
right, we would spend the next half an hour or so exploring those kind of things, but we don't have time.
No. We don't have time.
We have to say facts. We have to say when things opened. There's characters in the
That's right.
Have to just invent your own characters in the park. You can meet some characters. They're not tied to Disney or Warner Brothers or any of those things. They had to make up their own things. So you know, they have a set of characters. I feel like, Jason, maybe you have more about the
Do you have the list, Jason?
I have pictures, but I didn't really find names. There's a video where some of them have. There's like a video where they go through character boot camp. Did you find that?
I saw that. Park?
Yeah, like it was just a little promotional video.
They do YouTube content. They're content makers too.
Yeah, they also probably have to. I bet that place has changed a lot since the last time I was there. I mean, the last time I was there was probably like at least 20 years ago.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, so they have a YouTube channel. That's one thing that happened. Wouldn't have been possible then.
Like, I didn't do any research.
Kind of a poorly labeled YouTube channel too. I mean, this guy, I came across this guy a lot with the button nose.
Well, that's
he's patches. We know Pat. He's patches.
Okay.
Mike and I both.
Well, he says it on his stomach.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just funny how much we both wanted
patches.
To say.
Patches.
And he's a teddy bear. Nobody said I got his first teddy bear.
Yeah, that's the Leonardo DiCaprio Once Upon a Time in Hollywood meme when he's pointing at the patches. Sure, when you that feeling when you see patches.
That's the meme. We'll tweet that. You're giving us content. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Hey, look at that motherfucker.
Who's that? This guy's great. Hey, I like him. I think his name might be Dapper the Dog.
Yeah, I think that's right. Okay. Dapper the Dog. Sometimes you can find them because if you look on their Instagram, they hashtag it. With the name Dapper Dog. There's Molly Mouse. Am I wrong about that? I think I'm right.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I recall none of these like mascots. So I don't know if they like were a more recent addition to it or I just wasn't paying attention.
They might be new.
I was that's too busy
that's
trying
little
to get
kid
an ice
stuff
cream
too.
Cone or something. Yeah. Yeah, that's kid stuff. That's stupid.
Maybe they
you
didn't
want to hang out with Simon the Slug.
Maybe they didn't fit in the narrative you would have been constructed, and then you just sort of ignored them because they weren't you're like, that's not part of the world, anthropomorphic animals.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm like, well, look, we have a structure here. We're in act two and you're not gonna fuck this up.
We can't change the reality of the story now.
More of a two-hander.
Yeah, we don't have time to visit Castaway Island. We can't weave that into the narrative.
Oh, I love this guy. That's a cool parrot.
Yeah, they have a very like compact but pretty thorough water park that has a I think I saw it called a tidal river. It's like a combination wave pool lazy river, which I have never encountered that before.
Huh. So it's sending waves along while you're going. It's like giving you a little burst.
That's cool.
A tidal river, yeah.
Ooh, I'm into that.
Another neat thing is that there were a bunch of it was all family that wanted to bring their hunting knives into the park, and the park didn't want them to have hunting knives, so the security said they couldn't, and then they got in a fight with the security and kicked the security guard in the head, and then I think the whole family went to jail.
We were hunting patches.
I'm gonna rip
I'll bring
him up.
His head home in a duffel bag.
Tear his fluff out.
I have two quick things here from Instagram I'd like to bring up.
Please, yes.
This is a from a couple years ago. This is a performance by a band called Aeromyth. The tribute band to Aerosmith.
Aeromyth.
Aeromyth, and you can see this man kind of looks like Steven Tyler if
he
you
does
squint.
Kinda.
And this kind of looks like guitarist Bradley Whitford, not the actor.
Did you know that? Did you know that my dad You didn't know this.
I don't know what you're about to say.
My dad, when my dad was like 19 years old in Massachusetts, was in a band with Brad Whitford from
Wow.
My dad was the bass player in a band. They were called Sounds of the Poets.
Oh, wow. That is huge. There's a lot of Aerosmith discourse on this podcast, and that's
Aerosmith comes up all the damn time. But this is a useful piece of Aerosmith info.
I love it.
Well, so he kind of helped form the sound in a way.
As my dad says it, I don't know if this is true, but that he left my dad's band to join Aerosmith.
Wow. That's crazy.
He's like, I'm playing with these other guys who are more talented than you, Andy Blakelock.
Oh man. Did he ever stay in contact with him?
Coincidentally, this is the only thing that I went to. There was a kid who was in my kindergarten class who was his nephew. And I remember my dad asked his mom one time, who was his sister, like, hey, ask your brother Brad if he remembers Andy Blakelock. And the conclusion was like, he said he did.
Okay, something.
That was the only. And then years later, my dad worked for a company called California Closets that would design organganization for people's closets. And I got very excited
because I worked for the Container Store and we had Alpha shelving and I planned closets for people. And California Closets was always the thing we'd say, well, that's too expensive. They come to your house. You don't need to do that. You come in store.
That's why my dad, yeah.
Wow, fuck, that's you, interesting. Yeah, I'm mad at you now.
Don't talk about my dad like that. But he worked for California Closets, and they were expensive closets, and he would be going to like all these crazy expensive houses, and he did Joe Perry's closets.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow,
that's a wild bookend.
And met Joe Perry, and he was like, I went there for a consultation, and I was talking to like his assistant, and it was like 8 a.m, and like at a certain point, like Joe Perry in like a satin robe, like stumbled out with like a cup of coffee, and was like, "Are you doing my closets?" And then I was like, "Did you ask him? Did you tell him that you used to be in a band with Brad Whitford?" And he was like, "No, I was at work."
Very professional.
Yeah, it's closet time. I'm at work.
Yeah.
Man, that's great. And that's so crazy. California Closets. We would hear that all the time as they were our enemy when I worked at the container store.
That makes total sense because it's like truly it was just my dad would just be like, you won't believe the fucking houses I'm going to design closets. It was like all for rich people.
Yes. So, yeah, it was still very expensive to put in the Alpha shelving that I was designing for people, I think. But it was not nearly as bad as the California Closet price.
Wow. So this is truly a sign of the way musicians, like former working man musicians like Joe Perry, can lose their way and lose sight of what the common man wants.
What's wrong with the closet you have, you fucking...
You made your first album in a closet. You didn't need a reorganization.
Good point.
They lost touch. But Aeromyth keeps the spirit alive.
Aeromyth.
Sorry for the tangent.
No, I love the tangent.
No, that's crucial info.
Multiple great pieces there.
First commenter on this is Abby Elliott.
Is that Abby Elliott? It's the impersonator from Target. I don't think it
this
is.
This doesn't
no,
look like
this is okay, the Abby Elliott.
We don't have to. We don't have to. I just was curious.
Let's look at all of her photos and describe them.
If the real Abby Elliott was commenting on Aeromyth's Instagram.
That would have been a very small world. Yeah. A little too small.
Aeromyth.
Too perfect.
So real quick, I'm going to show you a picture of a recently redesigned color scheme for the Tilt-A-Whirl at this park. And you tell me what this looks like. Okay, real quick. Here we go.
Oh boy.
Okay, so it's a booth. It's a little like shell, and it's got stars that are reminiscent of the American flag, but then also a big blue line.
Okay.
Blue line. Oh no.
Okay, I'm not crazy, right?
I saw it right away.
Okay, good.
Is that what they're intending? I don't know. Maybe, but it's the line is just like the cushion. That's cushioning around in the Tilt-A-Whirl.
That was the color before.
But it's also a full blue. I'm not seeing any red anywhere.
There's no red. I mean? And no. I don't know if that's an accident. I think this is a Blue Lives Matter Tilt-A-Whirl is what I'm saying. And I've never seen that before. So that's where you could, at least at this, at September 21st, 2020, that's what the Kenobi Park had going.
Did they redesign it like early last summer? Like when did when
within
did
the
it
last
get this
4 years?
Scheme?
Yeah,
I went through the comments to see if anyone like noticed it, and I don't think they did.
Yeah, I there's
oh, wait,
so
wait.
Much.
Somebody went, hey, did you change the colors on this one? So somebody just maybe innocently
just out of curiosity.
Enough. Innocently enough was like, what happened? This is different. So, anyway.
I kind of like them better. I don't know what it is I like about this, but I like the new colors that you did.
I'm going to ride this tilt-a-whirl and yell and yell.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
Get pumped up and then see what else I can do with that energy.
Fox and Friends should broadcast from this tilt-a-whirl every morning. Steve Doocy should ride the tilt-a-whirl.
That group now is always yeah, just
twirling
the camera.
Twirling.
Why don't you just do what the officer says?
Aren't they to blame in a way, too?
Lock the, blah, blah. Lock
if you
the
do
camera.
What the officer says, then nothing bad will happen to you.
I think they just don't know about it. That's why there's been no broadcast from here.
I would like to, if this podcast caused them to, like, you know, put a purple cushion in there instead.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, I don't know. I think that's just a stock head cushion on a tilt-a-whirl. Yeah.
I don't know. Jason's giving them a little too much credit, I think.
I don't, well, no, because, like, in the original colony states, red, white, and blue is, especially in New England, I feel like. Right, Mookie, do you think that like they just slap red, white, and blue colonial shit on everything?
Where's the red, Jason?
Where's the red? There's some red behind there on some other ride. You mean like does New England have just like a red, white, and blue aesthetic like naturally?
Right, just in terms of the design. Like I feel sure. Like parts of
sure.
Like
I mean, yeah. It's like every, it's like every, it's, I feel like when you think of New England, maybe this isn't reality, but it's like everything looks like it's like a 4th of July parade or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where there's like,
yeah.
Those little, what are those little like half circle, like red, white and blue, like ruffle flags or whatever that are like hanging off of shit. I think maybe it's not that, but that's what you're led to believe.
Yeah. That feels right to me as somebody who's not been to the States and just knows it from media, I guess.
Yeah. You know it from like, It Chapter 2.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
So that feels right. So yeah, anyway, if you're a listener, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say just if you're do a report if you're around there and just see what's going on. Maybe the red is hidden.
White and blue is it?
Maybe the red is on the side and we're not seeing it and we're being stupid.
Somebody's got to check this out for
or
us.
Maybe
somebody
just
go to
that
Canada.
One car is maybe all the different cars are different designs. That one was
different
that,
causes.
That cart was donated by the mm-hmm. New Hampshire Police Department, the National Police Department.
And one is like a snake and says, "Don't tread on me."
Yeah.
So where we go on, we go all.
One's just a Sean Hannity's face painted on the back of it. Everyone's different. They're all different cars. The tilt-a-whirl.
I don't think we said they do have a ride. They have a shoot the shoot ride, which Mookie is shoot the shoot. It's all like a. The longer log flumes that fit like 8 or 10 in a row, like the Jurassic Park ride.
Oh, okay.
That attraction at Kenobi is called, Canopy, excuse me, is called the Boston Tea Party.
Yes, I vaguely remember that ride, yeah.
Again, just profiting off any like colonies shit, like New England, Revolutionary yeah. War. I lost track of the number of times I went to battlefields or like old farms or like this is how they ran a big crop when they had to cut the crops, you know?
Yeah, I New England is so like, you know, there's a lot of history or whatever. So I think it's like there's a, you know, they were like, you're right. It was like they were like among the first like 13 colonies. So it's just like. This is our shit, man. This is like our identity. Like we were the pilgrims and, you know, the pilgrims were on Plymouth Rock and the fucking whatever, the Boston Tea Party, like Paul Revere's Boston, where it's just like, this is our shit, our old tri-corner hat shit. This is us. Yeah. We love it.
The greatest hits. They're like doing the greatest hits and like they think that's if you come there, that's what you want. And it's like you want the founding fathers, you want some historical things, and then you want the Bad Boys of Boston, Aerosmith. You want everything in the area that's famous. Oh, I get
and
it.
Check out the cranberry, the Ocean Spray Cranberry Processing and Visitor Center.
Ooh. Oh, they have an Ocean Spray sponsorship?
No, I've just been to like the Ocean Spray factory in Plymouth, Massachusetts, or the Ocean Spray, like you can see a tour and see
by
learn
the bogs?
How yeah, learn how bogs work.
Wow, you've
stand
been to
in
the
a bog? You'd be wow. waist deep in berries?
No, we just saw like big pictures and recreations. Like, yeah, no, I haven't. I'd love to go in a bog and just, you know, get in there and mess around, but I've seen Plymouth Rock. I
just
seen
fuck
that.
Around in there, man.
Just fuck around, find out.
Pee in the bog.
Yeah.
Really want to pee in a bun, ruin a batch of cranberries. Wow. Mike, with the Aerosmith thing, they seem to have a lot of tribute bands.
Yes.
And there's, I think it's weird that they, I'm surprised. I don't think I knew there were tributes of this or how you would do it, but there is a Bruno Mars tribute, which is kind of funny. And you can watch that on a YouTube link where the person sat through the entire 25-minute show and yet still labeled it tribute to Bruno Moss. Spelled not moss like M-A-S, but like tree moss.
Right,
like,
right.
So like,
oh, man.
I liked it. Nice fella. Nice performer. Bruno Moss, and then you think maybe it was a spelling error or something, but then they made another video. They seem to go again, post another video and say Moss again.
Is that the name of the, like Aerosmith is the name of the
act? It could be
act.
Bruno Moss.
Is that the
name? No, I think, yeah, Aaron asked that question, and I think it, the video is called Tribute to Bruno Moss. So unless it itself is a tribute to
another
Bruno Mars impersonator right. named Bruno Moss.
Oh,
and then
okay.
we're two steps impersonator removed.
Could be a labeling issue. It could be, yes, you're correct. They're tributing.
The most likely answer I'd say is that the person that posted it is a common moron.
You fool.
You're a run-of-the-mill American moronic idiot.
You posted an error on the internet, and you should be shamed for this. What else do we have about Canada? Because there's other places to hit, and there is a ride coming up that I am thrilled to talk about. But are we missing anything on Canada?
Let me do a real quick one, and then the ride's big. I found this too, Jason. You'll be excited about this. And at least in 2014, there was something you get a coupon that said Dollar Hot Dog Day. And you could, there's two coupons. There's a coupon for like saving money on the actual admission. And then on the bottom there, you would present the coupon and get your dollar hot dog. And you would, is there a better deal?
From the food supply people at Sodexo, the giant food company.
Wait, is Sodexo bad? Why is Sodexo bad?
I don't think anyone said it was bad.
I mean, it's just kind of like a big monopolistic like food supply company. Like, I don't think you have a lot of choices if you need a certain quantity of food, like for if you're running a restaurant or like a college dining hall or something.
So, Jason, you knew what Sodexo was before this, because I actually was not familiar with that name.
Sodexo Marriott was the people who supplied like the dining halls I worked in college.
Oh, interesting. So you were like you were familiar. You worked with Sodexo.
I think they paid me. I think that's who. Like,
wow, you're a Sodexo former employee.
Sodexo's blood money. You're
are
rich
they paying
off
you
Sodexo's.
Now?
Yeah,
are they paying you now?
Wow, Sodexo.
Come clean, show us your paperwork.
Oh, no wonder we had to spend the fucking time talking about Sodexo.
Oh man, he always has to slip it in now.
What if Mike's in on it? He brought up that Instagram so that Sodexo would get said finally.
Yeah, do you guys want to go out to dinner tonight? I was maybe thinking we could go someplace where they're supplied by the Sodexo brand of food supply.
Yeah.
Sodexo hot dog links specifically. they're just a little more snap to them.
Mm-hmm. Jason and I have both gotten a fat check from Sodexo.
Oh,
that is for
right.
sure.
On to you now.
One episode every 4 years, and that's all we have to do. So we're good. We're good for a while.
They won't come shaking us down again. Do we want to move along? Do we want to talk about Santa's Village a little bit? Because boy, oh boy, I wonder if Mike and Jason, do we all find the same thing? The ride?
Oh, I think
ride.
Yeah. But yeah, let's do it.
I know which ride you're talking about.
It probably wasn't there. I think it's a newer thing. What do you recall about the Santa's Village of your childhood in Jefferson, New Hampshire?
Yeah. So Santa's Village is probably the one that I like have the least memories of, because it was like a boring ass, like you walk around and it looks like Christmas. And there's like, I truly could not tell you one thing that I did there other than like you walk around and there's maybe like a little train ride or something. But like, I barely remember Santa's Village truly. And I'm sorry.
I think
it's okay.
No. But you brought in a prompt for us is what you did.
Good.
And you caused us to have to look up, because there's Santa's Villages around and you sort of know what to expect. There will be an opportunity.
And are they
to meet
all
them.
Affiliated? That's what I've always wondered, because I remember somebody else. I remember somebody else. It's just a common concept, because I remember hearing other people go, "We have a Santa's Village near us." And I was like, "You have Santa's Village? I have Santa's Village." But I didn't. I've never known if they were. They're all just separate intellectual properties.
Santa Claus and fairy tale storybook stuff are in the public domain. So if someone's starting an amusement park, it's an easy place to start.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And okay, you're probably getting if say somebody moved from some other place, then they like think it's all sort of the same thing too. So you're getting probably like, "Oh, I love Santa's Village as a child. Let's go to this Santa's Village." So it's a smart move.
And you're like, "This shit isn't anything like mine."
Mm-hmm. The different Santa.
No brand unity here.
Right.
But I say thank God that this isn't like the other ones, because there's some real odd stuff. There's odd IP all over the place. I just want to share the screen really quick so that I could show you the area called Poogie's Splash Pad. There's a fancy penguin with a top hat and a little tie in one picture, but then not in the other two. So they're inconsistent just with Poogie's style. But what a name, though. Love Poogie.
Poogie, yeah. We like, yes. Love Poogie the penguin, yes.
It's like it's a character making fun of you, Mookie. It's like they're like it's a parody of
what
you.
The fuck?
Poogie. So Poogie Splash Pad is there, but the main thing to talk about is because there's limited IP with Christmas. Like, what do you do really besides like, here's the bake shop where Mrs. Claus makes her cookies or something? But this place really figured out something with a ride called the Great Humbug Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you guys?
Yeah.
Love this.
Yep.
Love it.
Yes.
I wonder if. Do I try to explain the ride or just allow the man himself to do it? I think maybe this is the move, because I don't know if you guys saw the same video that I did. There's ride throughs, but then there's this one that's like very artistically cut. Let me pull this guy up. I mean, this explains it so succinctly, and this is true insanity. Here we go.
Ebenezer Scrooge, and this is my home, and these humbugs are making me miserable.
So please stop right there. These humbugs are making me, like, I don't know why the emphasis is there. Maybe somebody was arguing that the humbugs aren't making him miserable and he had to correct them. But so this is a rough. Ebenezer Scrooge famously says "bah humbug," and I guess this is a ride that imagines that humbug. That's not just something he's saying. Ebenezer Scrooge is a grouch because his house is infested with humbugs.
Oh my God.
It's a reimagining of the story, yes, which I really like.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it lets
see
you
all
know
the
why he doesn't like Christmas.
This is like if you did the origin, if you did like the solo like origin story of of Ebenezer Scrooge, and it's like, why does he say, you know what I mean, where it's like, you know how in Solo when it's like that fucking stupid thing where he's like, "Chewbacca, that's too long, I'm gonna have to call you something shorter like Chewy." This is like humbugs everywhere. And you're like, "Oh, that's why he says humbug now."
Mm-hmm. That would be,
because everything in your life, there was a one moment that caused it for sure.
When Paul McCartney walked by that guitar shop and looked in the window and nodded.
And a legend was born. I don't really remember where this video goes. If there's nothing interesting, I'm just going to let it play kind of silently while we talk, because...
It was your partner.
Look, there's one now.
Oh, wait a minute. Here, if I go back frame by frame, you can read the sign, which explains further the... I mean, first it says, Santa says no food or drinks on this ride. Santa himself lays down the rules here. But then the Great Humbug Adventure. Tickle the humbugs with your special laser and make them finally giggle. Huh? Mm. Finally. All right. A lot of questions here. Finally. I don't know why. I mean, I guess this has been a decade long infestation.
Does that say finally? That's very hard to see.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Unless I'm written. It's parenthetical. Giggle. Like, make them finally giggle. Yeah. Really weird. And then just the phrase tickle the humbugs with your special laser.
Tickle the humbugs with your special laser. Yeah, just everyone sit in that for a moment. Just think about it. Say it out loud.
So special.
Tickle marinate, the humbugs with your special
marinate
laser.
Marinate in that.
Tickle. Again, it's a good ASMR.
I've said this before. Turn off the podcast while you're listening now and turn to the nearest person, find them, and just run in and say that sentence to them and then run out.
Tickle the humbugs with your special laser.
Exactly. And see what they say.
It's really melodic the more you say it. Tickle the humbugs with your special
Tickle
laser.
Tickle the humbugs with your special laser.
It seems like a procedure to like, that's like a lot of euphemisms for like getting rid of genital warts or something. It's what, if you don't want to tell your child, that's what the operation dad is going to have.
Honey, your father is going to have his humbugs removed. And wow.
The doctor's
laser.
Going to tickle them with his special laser.
The doctor is also a master tickler.
This was made by the Sally Dark Rides company, who made Mookie. There was once a ride based on the Moody Blues song "Knights in White Satin" at a short-lived Hard Rock Park in by Myrtle Beach. And this Sally Dark Rides company has made a number of dark rides all over the country, all over the world. They did the Justice League rides at Six Flags. And then they also made the humbug.
They made the great. I think they've made a lot of weirdo rides. There's some Looney Tunes ride they did. I looked up. There is a ride. Have you ever heard of this, Jason? In Pennsylvania, they did a ride with animatronics that is Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, mm-hmm. where you ride the trolley to bring trolleys back. There, I had no idea there was a Mr. Rogers ride.
I've heard a little about that. Yeah,
they changed it into Daniel Tiger. Is that right? Am I thinking of the same ride?
Oh, did they? I don't know. So. I thought maybe it just disappeared.
Yeah, there was Mr. Rogers ride, and they changed it to the just Daniel Tiger specific.
Okay. Anyway, this place makes some like bonkers rides. We might want to do an episode where we just pick off their website whether or not they are still around or not. Like, if it is a like weird, wonky, kind of scary, kooky animatronic filled ride, I think we might just want to like throw darts at Sally Rides and do an
That's
episode
true.
About
That's a good
it.
Point.
Oh. But. They definitely are, because I went to their digital booth at the IAPA convention last year, which was all digital.
Digital? You went to a digital booth? At a?
That's right. Yeah, I looked at their prospectuses and such, because they sell a lot of rides that are like pre-made.
Right.
That you could just insert into your park.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got like a cold sweat being like that we have a guest here and that like a virtual prospectus for a ride company was talked about.
Like, yeah, that's all right.
We're cool, dude. I swear. We're like pretty cool. We're not even that nerdy about it.
Let's go back to normal stuff, like the narratives we would tell ourselves as children to distract ourselves from our mundane suburban upbringings.
Anyway, I don't know. This is a scary wax figure come to life. He's pointing a gun. This whole video is like, I don't know who made this or why, but like, it's kind of like, it's not just like the ride going through it. It's full of really intense angles and cinematic close-ups. It's sort of a fever dream, and then the humbugs are sort of eerie and otherworld. They have like flower ears.
They're like Seuss-like.
Yeah.
And they're, yeah, they're like kind of cute, but they're a little gross.
Even Scrooge's house also, that's just a whole other premise. Where Ebenezer Scrooge lives.
It's so good, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's real fun.
Pretty obsessed. Dying to go here and tickle some. Why does it tickle, though?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Look at the bugs. They're so cute. The humbugs.
Yeah. There's like five humbugs. Look, one in the
chimney. We had a great trip. We saw the cute humbugs. We tickled them.
Oh, but they're like aliens? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I know. You wouldn't even like maybe flag these as bugs necessarily. Like they're a little more.
Well, they
alien-ish.
Have like bumblebee torsos, but this is very like Salem Witch Museum.
Okay. Wait, is that a place? Is that a New Hampshire Salem or is
no,
that
that's Salem, that... Massachusetts. So that's mm-hmm. where the witch trials took place, and they have the witch museum there, and you go in, but they have these like very old, like very creepy animatronics.
Oh,
where they
really?
Like tell the story of like whatever, like the Crucible or whatever.
Right.
It's like very wow. It's like very unnerving.
That isn't even on our radar. We got to do that.
Yeah, if there's weird red robots,
that's a pretty cool one. It's like very old, and I think they haven't changed it in like years and years. But it's like you go and you sit in this like little room, and there's like little they like light up little animatronic like things, and they tell you the story of the Salem witch trials and stuff like that.
Oh man, that's great!
So great. It hasn't been touched in years. That is
not by singing a witch's our favorite finger. Song. Also, those humbugs had like little like side mouths, like they were like they were slack jawed or something. Like it's
yeah, the
they're
humbugs
all, like, they're all snarky comics.
Yeah,
they're YouTube. Like they're all little Bill Maher's
YouTube thumbnail face. Yeah, they
DC culture is out of control. It's run amok, and I know running amok. I'm a humbug. So, all right, that's what I wanted to say about Santa's Village primarily. Should we move on to the oddest thing on your list, really? Yes. Like, I think when I gave it the cursory Google, I had to double check we were talking about the right thing.
Clark's Trading Post, yes.
This, what do you want to describe it as a person who went?
It's like there's two major things about this place that I have memories of, two major attractions, but it's like a sort of larger like compound trading post where it's like, you know, like cool general store vibes, but they have like old trucks that you can look at and like an old looking like you know, like an old 50s gas station facade. But there's two major attractions there, which is Clark's Trained Bears. So they would put on a show with bears. I think they still do, which is sad. But
I think for many years, when is this over? 49. It's decades and decades of bear shows.
Where they do live bear shows where it's like bears are balancing on balls and like, you know, shooting a basketball into a hoop and jumping through little hoops and stuff. So there was that. And then there's the tram ride with what's he called? Like the old man. There's a tram
I know about this. I was delighted to run
into this.
A tram
ride where you
this.
Would ride through. It's almost like kind of like the haunted hayride, but you were in this old like, you know, like hollowed out or like, you know, the sides taken off bus, and you ride through this thing, and an old like steampunk man like chases you through through the woods.
His name is Wolfman.
Yes, Wolfman.
Wolfman.
And the way that you get him to, did you read about this? The way that you get him to leave you alone. Did you read this, Scott?
I did, but I feel like you should say it.
Everybody on the bus, men, women, and children included, you all yell, "Scram, you old goat."
This rules. Love
Scram,
this.
Scram, you old goat. And that's how the Wolfman would leave you alone. But it was like a guy who had like big, like a big red beard and big crazy hair, and like an eye patch and like a club. And he had like a steampunk ATV, and he would chase after you and be like, "Rah!" And they're like, "It's the Wolfman." And you had to drive away from the Wolfman, and we would all go, "Scram, you old goat." And then the Wolfman would be scared because you yelled, "Scram, you old goat." And that was the tram ride of Clark's Trading Post.
That's like,
and I, and as a child, was genuinely afraid of the Wolfman. He looked scary to me.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. That's they like some advertise that. Guy. They advertise like the guy and that catchphrase right on the front of the website. That's like the first thing you see when you go to the website.
Wow. Yeah, this Graham is some local, and he's like written about in the newspaper a lot. Like if there's changeover with the Wolfman, when the oldest Wolfman retired,
yeah.
and then he's picking his successor. This seems like major local flavor. I don't know for how far emanating from Lincoln, New Hampshire, but at least there's some places in New Hampshire where Wolfman and Scrammy Old Goat loom really large.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. in retrospect, it must be like those just, it must be like a local actor or something being like, right. I got the Wolfman.
Well,
gig.
I found the story of it. I mean, now it's local actors, I think, essentially. But there was a as you said, this was the, you know, the main thing was bear shows, and they'd make the bears play basketball, and also do like. This seemed to like involve bears in a wedding proposal once, like a bear pulled out a wedding ring, all kinds of weird, humiliating bear things. And that was like the main attraction. But then like the only people who knew how to do the bear show had to go out of town, so they couldn't do the bear show. And it's like, well, we do have the train still, or the little, or whatever you were saying, the car with one side missing. But is that enough? And then there was like a maintenance guy who looked like Wolfman, who was just was very scraggly, and he was just kind of thinking and was like, I'm gonna take a risk, but if this risk pays off, it might change everything around here. And he went and found some weird furs, and when the train started going around, he went up and started screaming at it and made up the whole wolf. I'm a man raised by wolves. He just did it without checking with the owners or anything.
Wow.
And then it became like, well, if we don't have the bears, we always have Wolfman. Like, it was a crucial second attraction. It really, like, it just, like, I think amplified the place and fleshed wow. it out. And it was all this one guy.
Wow. And a legend was born.
And a guy who, I mean, big risk. Like, I'm shocked that nobody was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
We're just doing a little tram ride, and you're running up going like, I'm the Wolfman, get out of my woods. I feel like most people, they'd be like, you can't do that, dude.
Yeah, it's like
Disneyland. Like, you can't just say, I'm trying this. I'm going to start like screaming and spitting at these people.
Fucking tram tour. Like, you can't do that.
At the Container Store, I like put like I glued some of the shelving to my legs, and I was like, I'm shelf boy.
Yeah.
Get out of here. I'm trying to scare you.
Scram, you old shelf.
Scram, you old shelf. One enterprising manager was like, I think we got something with shelf boy.
Shelf boy.
That took balls, Carlson. Mm.
I took a risk.
Container store could be more than a store.
It could be a brand.
I have a little video of the Wolfman because it gives you a flavor of the this is truly.
Do you guys post pictures of this afterwards on Twitter so people can see them?
Yeah.
Well, assuming we remember, yes,
I'll get a few and send them to you.
Oh, if you got old pig, yes, please do.
Oh, absolutely. No, I wonder if I do. I should ask my parents if they have, because my mom just went through a bunch of old photos. I was like, if you have any, please send me some. I'm going to ask her. I'm going to text her as soon as we're done. I'm going to text her right now.
And then she might listen to it and be like, you didn't like the vacations? I thought you had fun at the arcade.
Oh, my God.
Wow, you've got some of that negative Wolfman spirit in you. Here's the Wolfman.
You know something? I don't like Odags, you flat mutt-landed marabop and yellow-belly long-nosed geezers. What are you doing on my turf? You know what I do with you? I'll take you, and I'll take your heads, and I'll stick you right down those jaws down there.
And then, so he's a guy in, like, furs and an eye patch. If we hadn't said that, he's missing a lot of teeth. He's super scraggly. And then he says, I'm going to throw you down those jaws right there.
And fucking great, like, this is my car. Like, great Boston accent. Just like, this is my car over here. My car has jaws.
His car is no match for my car. It's got jaws.
This is my car.
You kid, you're going in the jaws. That's it.
You're going in the jaws on my car.
So he kind of like, he seems to hit a button and then like some big like bear trap looking thing is going on and off in front of his car. And it is like little picket fence pieces that are jaw, like his weird little Mad Maxi car has a mouth in it and he's going to feed your kid into the jaws.
Man, that would have scared the shit out of me. This guy, Wolfman.
Yes.
It's scary, man. And he like fucking, and he's got, and his car is like, it's like one of those like old, like it's like a lawnmower engine or something, so it's like the whole time, like when he's chasing you it's like loud and he's like screaming at you and waving his club.
The lo-fi sort of like, yeah, it makes it worse, the lo-fi nature of it.
Yeah, well, and it's also not like, you know, you can kind of smell in a Universal setting that like, well, there's an actory air to the Norman Bates and it's not a real knife. But when this like rusted out car pulls up with a, like this, what if this is just a guy who lives in the hills? It's in the hills. Like conceivably, he just lives there and he is mad.
Yeah, he's just like, he's very believable. Yeah, you would not be able to tell. I mean, if I was a kid, I would just be like, what is this accent? This must be a hill person accent.
He keeps going and says this, my favorite thing in the clip here.
And if you ever come with me and double cross me, you'll become vomit stew, especially kids. Boiled kids with stuck cabbage and rat tails. That's my favorite.
I mean, that little thing is like what Charles Manson would say, like when he went on Charlie Rose and then like, like that is true serial killer stuff.
Yeah, this guy, I admire the commitment and I admire the history of the character. But yeah, scary.
Varmint stew. He's gonna with kids, boiled kids with stuffed cabbage.
Kids become varmint stew, where it's like it's varmint stew, but it the special extra ingredient is kids.
It's child's flesh. Yeah,
kids. He boils them.
I wonder. Do they have like a listing for playing him on the website? Like, could I apply to be the Wolfman, or would I just like, they would look at me and they go, you don't look like the Wolfman. What are you doing?
There's a lot of people vying for that spot, man.
Yeah, that's you're right. There's probably like they hold like open call nationwide auditions for that.
That's like landing, like hosting the Tonight Show. It only happens to very few people in the world.
Lorne Michaels has
a lot of drama every time there's a changeover. Yeah. There's so much. The guy says he's going to give it up and then doesn't.
Yeah, and Lorne has a lot to do with it, too.
Guys, mom says, I'll look.
Sweet. All right. A lead.
Nice.
Within the episode, we didn't even have to wait for it. That was a question I had, if a couple different things happened in your life, Mookie, is there a chance that you are the Wolfman?
Look, it's tough. Los Angeles is tough. Mm. You know, yes, am I going to be here forever pursuing this dream of mine? I don't know. Maybe I retire as an older gentleman in another, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years back to New England and go, well, I have this skill. We talked about it earlier, this skill where I can become anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we know that you have this. We know that you can inhabit different personas.
And you know what?
There's entirely new people showed up here.
The answer is I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah. if you do the work now,
it's a possibility.
You're not gray now, but someday, and
he
you start growing the hair. Now, is he not gray? Wait a minute. What am I talking about? Yeah, you don't have to be. Wolfman's not
red.
Old.
He's a ginger.
You're right. But you. So if you do, but if you start putting in the hair work now, if you don't cut it, start growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I don't shave for the next 15 years, then I'll.
And then all of your credits and work up to this point just become like, I guess. All right. Well, I guess he seems like he knows how to act before. He's acted before, but I don't know. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is he going to intellectualize Wolfman?
He was the last Wolfman.
Yeah. And if you're like in the next like 15 years, somebody goes, oh, are you growing it out for a role? And you go, yes, a long term role. Fire.
The role of a lifetime.
The role of a lifetime that I'll get in 15 years.
That's really gonna be my future.
I would be curious if any of the Wolfmen ever were like, I was in a local commercial or something, or like a not local, even like a regional commercial that was like, it was just like, I go to commercial auditions too. Like,
Yeah, I probably
my days off.
Like the guy who played Bozo when I was a kid, played Bozo. Like I found his website and I found his reel, and I'm like, he's trying to get like a commercial job now.
Whoa,
Bozo's trying to do the same jobs I am. We're going out for the same roles.
He does, but just like, so he'll pop up in things, but just not with a lot of range. So it's just like, if you don't buy a recliner from us, then I'll turn your kids into vomit stew. You kids at home, you tell mom and dad.
Yeah,
you don't buy a recliner, you're gonna end up in a stew pot. Yeah.
He's like threatening Flo and the progressive people with stew, child stew.
Yeah, I'm like is Wolfman, I mean, it, like, you know, like, has Wolfman ever been, like, you know, seen or portrayed in any kind of like pop culture anything?
Is this a reference? Yeah, has anyone like done any depiction of their childhood where there would have to be a Wolfman equivalent,
or even just a mention of it, or just like, you know, whatever, in a Stephen King thing where it's like, we went down to Clark's Trading Post where the Wolfman was hanging out. I mean, that's Stephen King would write it a lot better than I just did, but
this don't tell yourself short. Like the one that I would have guessed Stephen King would have been influenced by.
Right?
Nope, it's the charming little carnival atmosphere of Canopy.
Well, and if there was like a imagine a horror situation at this place with not only Wolfman and the Jaw Car, but also a bunch of bears who are probably mad that they've had to bounce around on balls and play basketball for so long. I mean, this place at night is, I don't know if you're stuck there or like in an apocalypse or something. This is an awful place to be.
Oof.
Yeah. There's a lot of darkness here for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's like local level, you know, attraction where it's just like, yep, this is the best we can do in this area that just is mostly like dirt and trees.
We do have trees. We could build a train that takes you through the trees, and that's not nothing.
I have a more like wholesome local attraction story too.
Yes.
If you want something a little lighter, if you want something a little less horrifying.
Let's go out on some lightness. Yes.
Sure. So this is at Storyland, which is another park we mentioned earlier. I say it's run by the company that runs Kennywood Park. And I found a video online, and from 1983 to 1998, they had a dark ride called Voyage to the Moon. And it really seems like a sort of homemade sort of dark ride that has a certain type of magic to it. And you can find this video on YouTube. Someone made like a video essay about it. Voyage to the Moon, Complete Ultimate Tribute. This is in the style of Mookie. There's a guy named Martin's Vids who makes video essays about how certain rides were made. And someone made it for this little Voyage to the Moon ride. And I'm encouraging everyone to go and watch this video because it takes some twists and turns. The guy gets some stuff from the park as like gifts, but a brief description of some of the ride. So it's sort of like that old silent movie, The Voyage to the Moon, where you're like or Trip to the Moon, where a bullet is shot at the moon. In this case, your car overshoots the moon and enters into a black hole, and it says after emerging on the other side of the black hole, guests would then encounter a wizard who would appear out of the darkness. The wizard in the black hole. There's a lot more. The wizard would then explain to guests that he was able to make dreams come true and suggested that they come along with him to see what was possible.
Oh boy.
Are you still with me? Okay. Then the golden bullet would enter another scene occupied by strange creatures called worry wortles.
Wait, and you're in the golden bullet. You're not like
you're in the golden
wizard
bullet.
Didn't fire a gun.
Meet worry wortles. Guests would then encounter another strange creature named Chugga Chugga Puff Puff. So I don't know. I think this sounds awesome.
You're delighted by all this.
I was delighted by all this, and especially once you see there is footage in this essay this video essay of the ride. And then unfortunately it does end with the note that the ride closed, the walls underneath the dome were removed, and Professor Beagle Step's loopy lab opened for the 1999 season. So Professor Beagle Step's loopy lab, of course, evicting the Voyage to the Moon ride.
Was the character named Chugga Chugga Poof Poof? Is that what you said?
Chugga Chugga Puff Puff.
Puff Puff. Okay, so it's a weed-like character. It's a weed-based...
yeah, man.
Kind of. They
and
all
drinking
are just
and
little,
chugging.
Like, puff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a real partier. So, yeah, I like the sound of all these characters, for sure. Including that professor that replaced the whole thing.
Yeah, but what I really want to see is the Wolfman just going wild with that jaw car and laying waste to the whole thing.
Yeah, man. Well, that's what he tries to do every time, and then, you know, these brave kids stop him every time.
Yeah,
magic phrase.
He's really trying. Bad. Trust me, he is trying. He is trying to destroy that place.
He has to
get out of there and destroy everything. He wants to destroy Storyland. He wants to destroy Canopy. This guy it would lay waste to all of New Hampshire if he got out.
If he ever got out, please, people, if this message can reach far and wide, you need to scream, scram, you old goat.
There's only one thing that stops him. And if this podcast, if something happens and this podcast is the only clue.
If there's a Jurassic Park level disaster at Clark's Trading Post where the Wolfman gets out somehow.
But what if the Wolfman is a misunderstood protector? What if the Wolfman goes away, what if New Hampshire is just overrun by worrywartles and humbugs, you know? Maybe.
An absolute
the only
nightmare.
Thing keeping it in stasis.
Yeah, it's the only nightmare. Thing keeping it in stasis, you know?
Yeah, well, we won't know. We won't know until it happens.
I hope to God that that does not happen.
Yeah, let's all pray
let's
real
pray.
Quick.
Pray.
Yeah, let's quick all pray.
For the sake
silence.
Of the people of New Hampshire, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the sake of people in New Hampshire, there's worry wortles and humbugs are not humbugs. Escaped, and we don't have to turn to Wolfman and form an unholy alliance. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, Wolfman
protect
and,
us, oh Santa.
Oh, that was the other the Santa's Village. The other thing I had, just right at the end, Mick Foley, wrestling icon, aka Cactus Jack, aka Dude Love, aka Mankind. Said of Santa's Village, every good thing in my life somehow leads me back to Jefferson, New Hampshire, and the trip to Santa's Village my parents took me on when I was only 3 years old.
Wow.
He's a Mick Foley is a big, he is such a Santa, he's like a Santa head. He has a Christmas yes. room, and he like dresses as Santa. He's very, he looks like Santa. He's like jolly. He's very so seemingly Santa nice guy.
What a sweetheart.
And yeah, he it's loves beautiful. Santa's Village. And I think I've said this on the show. He's a big theme park guy because when he jumped off the top rope to the outside to try to land on the rock on an announce table and missed and cracked his rib right on the side of a table in Anaheim, he thought, oh, man, am I going to be able to make it to Disney tomorrow? It's the first thought he had during the match.
Jeez. Committed. Yeah. Well, so. Well, that's beautiful. Everything good in his life came from, and I think a lot of good came from talking about all of these places, a lot of great IP, a lot of great breakthroughs about your life and family stuff.
Yeah.
I hope it was helpful to you, Mookie. You survived Podcast The Ride. We all went through some stuff, and we survived Podcast The Ride. Mookie, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course.
For sure. That is so much. Yeah. There is like, that is an odd amount of bizarre IP in one neck of the woods. I did not think that's where we were heading. I love the Wolfman. I love all the humbugs. Thanks for bringing it to us. But now, before all us old goats scram, let's exit through the gift shop. Mookie, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. You can check out my podcast, You Are Worthy with Lil Mookie B. Follow me on social media on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Lil Mookie B. LILMOOKIEB. And other than that, no irons and no fires, man.
But you have an iron in the fire of inspiring people and of making people of getting people in touch with their best selves and getting people away from chasing clout. And if you, I don't know if anyone's ever plugged a TikTok account really on the show. And if you do one thing, I think follow the TikTok. And if you want to be inspired on a regular basis, then follow Lil Mookie.
Yes, with the disclaimer of it is parody.
What? Oh man.
Yeah, I thought it was real too.
Game, I had a lot of breakthroughs from those.
I don't want any cool people coming there thinking that I'm some kind of fucking
Have you not though? Didn't I heard
I'm kind
one
of taking
them...
those people down, you know what I mean? Taking them down a peg.
Did you not have one that like blew up significantly within TikTok?
There
like
was
there was some like
TikTok
statement about dating.
That, yeah, got a it got about something like 13,000 likes and a bunch of comments and of a bunch of people who thought that I was being a like sincere like I mean basically for anybody who doesn't know this, it's basically like a parody of like the type of guy who goes on TikTok and is performatively, you know, like feminist to in order to get laid.
Sure, sure.
And so it was a video sort of like that, but it was a bunch of people thinking that I was being sincere, and I gained 12,000 new followers in a week of all people who think that that is the kind of person that I actually am. And so, you know, I mean, I guess that's a success.
Yeah. The audience you have always been trying to cultivate.
That's yeah,
right. Sure.
And then they look at some, and then they look at some of the other ones, and they're like, "Is this what I followed?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it is."
I'm just being mean.
Thanks for the numbers, man. I just want to get my numbers up.
You're all just little stats to me. You played right into my trap. Fell right into my car jaws.
All you fucking unverifieds. Ugh.
I don't even look at the names. Just put them on the pile. All right. Well, yeah. Check out Mookie on TikTok and the podcast. It's so funny. And as for us, you can find us on all the socials at Podcast The Ride. There's merch available in our T Public store. And for 3 bonus episodes every month, check out Podcast The Ride, The Second Gate at patreon.com/podcastTheRide. And I think there's only one. I think you have to end it with a little scrammy old goat.
Yeah.
Scrammy old goat.
All you old goats listening to this. Scram right now. Scram
right now.
Before you become varmint stew. Varmint stew sounds all right.
So Jason's had varmint stew back when he was a little boy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Probably.
Pennsylvania thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you didn't know? You never had it?
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.